from New York's war on Slurpees to gendercide in Congress and Green Lantern goes gay. We'll cover it all right here on The Line of Fire.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
But I've been looking forward to this moment, to this Monday, to start the broadcast, to talk with all of you. And hopefully, in the midst of crazy news and wild stuff happening in the society, as you listen to the Line of Fire broadcast today, it'll bring clarity, it'll bring strength, it'll bring hope, it will bring courage. And of course, we'll talk about some controversial issues, but always from a wise kingdom perspective. Michael Brown, thank you so much for joining us. I'm really eager to hear your take on a few different subjects, and we will start in New York City, but this is of interest to the nation. So here's the number to call to get in the conversation, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Also, on our Facebook page, which is Ask Dr. Brown, A-S-K-D-R Brown, on Facebook, all one word. We've got some interesting discussion going. Here's the question I asked, but I want to put it in a larger context. And there are a few other things we're going to get to, hopefully in the first hour, but certainly in the second hour for those that will be listening online or in other cities. How do you feel about Mayor Bloomberg's proposal to ban the sale of sugary drinks of more than 16 ounces in New York City to help fight obesity? I understand obesity is a major problem in America, a major health problem in America. For many years, I'm a big guy to start, and I work out, so I'm a fairly big guy, you know, 6'3" and decent-sized frame, especially when I'm working out. But I'm sure it's always 20, 30 pounds I could easily take off and should. So I understand that for everybody, these are issues we have to think about. But what do you think about the mayor trying to get a law passed? They've already passed laws about certain food content and what restaurants can and can't use, and it has a lot of people up in arms. But, hey, it's a war against obesity. It's trying to help people be healthy. Or is this just another ridiculous example of government intrusion? Who gives the mayor or the government the right to say, okay, this, you can't have a Slurpee because that's too many ounces, or no, you can only sell the 16 ounces, so if you have to buy an extra one, if obviously you could still do that. And he says Donut Day is okay. They've got Donut Day. Donut Day is okay. I mean, one donut, he says, not going to help hurt anybody. Are you going to pass a law you can only eat one donut or sell one donut? Or maybe like serving liquor to someone? Well, if they're a little tipsy, you don't serve. So if maybe weigh the people as they come in. And if they're too much, way too much, sorry, we can't sell you a donut today. Or what about the fact I haven't had sugary drinks in years? I don't drink soda, haven't for years. And, you know, that didn't affect my weight overall. In fact, I drank Diet Coke and needed to lose weight. So what about the fact you get 8 slices of pizza and collapse on the way out the door from all the pizza? What about all of the other potential things that could happen that you could eat? You go into some delis in New York and get a sandwich that'll sink a ship. But 16 ounces can't be any more than that. Or hang on. Mayor Bloomberg is not happy with the criticism to his proposal. I'll read some of what he had to say to you in a recent radio program. And he's talking about how in New York City, the average lifespan is 3 years longer than those in other cities in America. I haven't researched that. Could be accurate. That's if you get to be born, though. That's if you survive the womb. Because 41% of all babies conceived in New York City are killed before they get out of the womb. I wonder if that's a greater health risk than Slurpees. What do you think? Especially if you're in your New York, 866-34-TRUTH.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I want to say again, I am not making light of the fact that obesity is a massive problem in America. Someone posted on my Facebook page an article I haven't been able to look at yet, just spotted it a few minutes ago. The obesity epidemic in America's churches. And we're not just talking about the fact that it doesn't look good. We're talking about health problems, problems that will cut our lives down by years, problems that will affect our lifestyle, our ability to be contributing citizens in our society, and will put a major drain on the American economy because of health insurance and health risks and so on. I'm not minimizing the issue or the problem of obesity. I'm just asking, what do you think, especially if you live in New York, about the mayor saying that he wants a ban on sugary drinks that are more than 16 ounces, be it something you can get at Starbucks, be it something you could get at some convenience store, be it something that's served in a restaurant or a deli. What do you think about that? 866-34-8-7-8-8-4. Article I was sent earlier today from England. Health workers have been told that the word obese is offensive. Word should not be used now. Public health workers have been told that patients may respond better if they are encouraged to achieve a healthier weight rather than being labeled obese. Directors of public health and local government communications leads should carefully consider the type of language and media to use to communicate about obesity. For example, it might be better to refer to a healthier weight and to talk more generally about health and well-being or specific community issues. Now, some of you in New York might have some differences already with Mayor Bloomberg because of certain things he's done. For example, refusing to allow any prayer or religious expression at the 10th year anniversary of 9/11. That outraged many people, and I believe rightly so. And Mayor Bloomberg has helped lead the way in keeping churches out of school buildings, public buildings that they're renting for worship services on Sundays. Mayor Bloomberg could simply said, we're going to let that continue as it has for years, and we're glad to have these groups involved in our communities. But he's been a principal figure against that. So you may already have issues with the mayor, but let's make this separate, okay? I mean, I don't mean you can't say things in general. And we're not here to malign him, to attack him, but to rather address the issue. Now, here's some of his defense. Daily News reported this on Friday. This is their report. Mayor Bloomberg crankily defended his simultaneous support for a supersized soda ban and donut day. So he wants a ban on supersized sodas, but donut day is okay. And he denounced his critics as ridiculous. Come on, he said testily as Today's Show host Matt Lauer needled him for celebrating a holiday for fried dough as he tries to stop New Yorkers from guzzling sugary drinks. One donut's not going to hurt you, Bloomberg said. In moderation, most things are okay. I just have to smile for a minute. Where are you only? Someone in New York, tell me, on donut day or other days, are you only allowed to buy one donut? Do they have a limit? You go into Dunkin' Donuts, or if they have Krispy Kreme, that's, you know, famous in other parts of the country or whatever the place is, do they say you only can have one donut now? But hang on, not all donuts are equal. Some donuts are much thicker in content and higher in calorie and less healthy than other donuts, are they not? Many New Yorkers are popping mad about the City Hall plan to bar restaurants, theaters, and delis from selling sweetened beverages bigger than 16 ounces. But the mayor said what they should really do is thank him for his anti-smoking, anti-fat, anti-sugar crusades when they're on their deathbed. Now, I remind you, it's quite an accomplishment to get to the deathbed in New York because almost half of kids born in New York City, or conceived, I should say, in New York City, don't make it to birth. Again, to repeat, 41% of New York City pregnancies end in abortion. And yet the mayor is boasting in New York City, the average person lives 3 years longer than people living in the rest of the country. This is what he said on his weekly radio show. Just before you die, remember you got 3 extra years. If you have friends living elsewhere in this country and you really care about them, get them to move here. Just tell them it's not safe for babies in the womb. Broken down by race, non-Hispanic blacks, 59.8% abortion rate. Hispanics, 41.3% abortion rate. We're talking New York City. Asians, 22.7% abortion rate. Non-Hispanic whites, 20.4% abortion rate. the fact that 41% of all pregnancies, this was a year ago in New York City, end in abortion, it's not a secret, and it's not anything new. Oh, in 98, the number was actually 46%, so this has been steadily, epidemically high. But that's okay. Woman's right to choose. Got to protect that. But get rid of these sugary drinks over 16 ounces. 866-34-TRUTH. To the phones, Sue in Mount Vernon, New York. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi. I have a question. With his law, if somebody wants to order more than one 16-ounce soda, can they do that?
Yes, actually.
You can only buy one per day at this location. I mean, they're not prevented from buying two or three.
No, that's what he actually says. You can get more, so they can come up with another glass or bring out another can or another bottle.
Right.
So
right.
So I mean, the other thing is, who's going to be monitoring it? I know there's going to be a fine, but what do you think about the proposal in general? Is this too much government intervention? Is this becoming a nanny state, or is the fact that we're so obese and portions have gotten so large something we need to address little by little?
I think I do disagree with probably most of his policies, especially abortion and all those other things you mentioned.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, a lot of people have the mindset that, if I get this supersized drink, I can get it for, like, I'm getting so much more soda for, like, just a little bit more cost.
Uh-huh.
So I think people kind of have that mindset. And I was recently listening to some other radio program where they've studied people, like, if you have a larger drink, you're going to drink it. You're not going to think about, your body doesn't register, I'm full. So if you have it, you're just going to drink it anyway without even thinking about it.
But then on the other hand, Sue, think of this, though. If you're getting a better deal, that's money to put back into the economy that you saved. And on top of
I'm saying
some of this with a smile. The other thing is, if you got a bigger drink and you drink more, you do get more filled up. But listen, thank you for weighing in. And part of my answer is partly tongue-in-cheek and partly serious. But I want to hear from others. But thank you, Sue, for weighing in. I appreciate it. Let's hear what others have to say. Nancy in New York City, what's your take?
Hi, how are you? Personally, I think the approach is incorrect. I happen to be a nurse, and I work in New York City. I live in New York City, and truth is, I'm kind of heavy, and I don't drink sodas.
Uh-huh.
But what I said all of that to say this. There are supermarkets within New York City that the fresh fruit and vegetables are not fit to buy for a human being. So if the mayor wants to put some resources in trying to assist people, I would think that he would accentuate the positive by sending the food inspectors around more frequently to deal with those disgusting supermarkets, and a lot of them are in the ghetto areas, and deal with things like that and stay out of, you know, who buys a 32-ounce soda or whatever the case may be, because I think that people who have this obesity issue is more than just sodas. It's whatever food they're exposed to. Since they don't want to buy the fruit and vegetables because they're rotten, they're buying the stuff in the packages and in the cans, and that's loaded with things too that's a problem. So I think he's taking the wrong approach.
Got it. All right. Thank you for weighing in as a nurse. I appreciate that. 866-34-TRUTH. Now, if you don't live in New York, feel free to weigh in, because this is a conversation of national interest. I also want to throw out something else to think about that Nancy and I were chatting about the other day, which is the evident epidemic of obesity in America. And those that struggle with weight, like I said, I've been a little overweight for some years. Maybe a bigger guy, I can get away with it. Well, I can't get away with it, period. But I'm not saying this in like some self-righteous way, okay? I work out, try to take care of myself in other ways, but through the years, I never developed good, healthy eating patterns. So it's not eating so much. It's just not eating the healthiest thing. So I'm not sitting here so self-righteously. But you see more and more people that are frighteningly obese in our society, including younger and younger kids. That's another question, but I want to raise it. Why in the world are we, as a society, so dangerously obese? We'll keep talking right here.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, the three things before we go back to the phones and continue to get your feedback on Mayor Bloomberg wanting to ban sugary drinks that come in more than 16-ounce cups or bottles or containers. Get your feedback on that and the larger question of why we are such an obese society. And this is not just America. This is happening in some other countries as well. Before we get back to that, 866-34-TRUTH, three things. Later in the broadcast, I do want to talk about Prenda, which is the prenatal non-discrimination act that you can't abort a baby based on gender or race, that was stopped from moving forward in the House, and sadly by a massively partisan Democrat vote to stop it from going forward. Want to talk to you about that. Want to give you some comic book updates about coming out. Oh, some major gay activist advances in the comic books, both DC Comics and Marvel Comics this week. Want to talk about that later in the broadcast and some the next hour. And want to give you an opportunity to share with me in something really neat. And I want to bless you in the process. The Lord continues to help us and meet our needs. And we need to raise this month about $50,000, which is not a lot of money when you think of the listeners that we have, the amount of listeners we have across America and by internet around the world. And it's not a lot of money, excuse me, when you think of the fact that political candidates are raising hundreds of millions of dollars. Our presidential battle will be decided with billions of dollars of advertising money. So it's not a lot of money. And it's not a lot of money when you realize how much many of us waste on other things. I want to give you an opportunity to stand with us. In fact, a little later in the broadcast, I've got some neat testimonies to share with you to let you know what's happening through the broadcast, through the school, through our grads, through those that you help us support. I want to share some scripture to encourage you as well. But we're doing something very special, too. There is now a 2-DVD set of the debate with Rabbi Shmuley and myself, moderated by Sid Roth, who actually got to preach the gospel in the midst of this, amazingly so. High-quality, high-def TV cameras, the whole bit, live audience, a 2-DVD set that would normally sell for $20, Who is the Real Kosher Jesus, just came out. It's yours for your gift of any size. So those who participate to help us meet this $50,000 need this month, whether you send in a dollar or whether you send in $10,000, our thank you to you is the 2-DVD set, The Real Kosher Jesus Debate, Rabbi Shmuley and me, moderated by Sid Roth. So here's the number to call to join with us. I want to encourage every one of you, as your heart prompts you, just joyfully stand with us. Let's make a difference. If these needs are met, I'll tell you, I'm not burdened or weighed down by standing for righteousness, by doing radio, by traveling, preaching, writing, by taking on all kinds of demonic strongholds and getting maligned. I'm called to do it. Sometimes the only weight I feel is financial pressure, but I know the Lord is with us. He's called us to do this. And all of this money, every dime we're talking about, is going right into our radio outreach and then to help support our workers around the world. Here's the number to call, 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. Again, our thank you gift to every one of you that joins with us. So I'm encouraging everyone, do what you can and let us bless you in return by sending you the 2-DVD set of the debate moderated by Sid Roth, Rabbi Shmuley and me, Who is the Real Kosher Jesus? Okay, back to the phones. Matt in Alexandria, Virginia, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hey, my pleasure, L'chaim.
Thank you. L'chaim to you.
I just want to say it always amazes me, you know, that people try to create utopia on Earth as, you know, via Mayor Bloomberg or whatever. And I understand that our population is getting more and more obese, but this regulating of behavior, it almost makes me think that they want everybody in a permanent state of happiness without thinking, without, you know, taking on personal responsibility. And that's when I really start getting scared.
So, in other words, the issue itself is secondary to the larger prospect of government determining personal decisions and taking responsibility for what you do in your life. That it could, if it could control the drinks we get. And here's at the same time, you can go into a bar, can't you, and get filthy drunk. You can do that, and that's right. Legal. That's still legal. Right.
And I know that I have a very low tolerance for alcohol, so I don't drink anymore. But if I take it upon myself to go have the two glasses of wine that will put me under the table, then I've taken that responsibility on myself. I mean, I'm overweight, too. That's because I like food, especially donuts. So he would force people to regulate the size of what they're doing doesn't regulate some of the other things that go on,
there are some places, Matt, that are famous in New York City, like Carnegie Deli, that will take guests there. I had my former personal assistant, who's now a missionary in the Philippines, and he'd never been to New York City. I said, you got to come with me. So he came in when I was doing a Jewish outreach lecture. And then at the end of it, I said, all right, man, it's like 11 o'clock at night, we're going over to Carnegie Deli, then we're going to walk across, we're going to Times Square, and it's like packed at midnight. He'd just never seen anything like it. And anyway, we go into Carnegie Deli, and I took a picture and sent it out. I probably posted it on Facebook, I forget, of him with this sandwich when it was served. And you got to pay in cash there, another little thing at Carnegie Deli. But when it was served, it's so large. I mean, his question was, how do I eat this? How do I?
Like Cat's Deli. Yeah, I've been there. Absolutely.
Right, exactly. So the fact is, there are plenty of places like that. The size of the drink is not the issue there. The issue is the amount of food. But the larger issue, Matt, like you say, is government control. All right, hang in there on the phones, friends. I want to hear from more of you. Tomorrow, first hour, special guest, Ray Comfort. Many of you know Ray. We're going to get to talk to Ray about a whole bunch of issues, and I'm going to play the devil's advocate with him on some things, too. Oh, check this out. From a missionary that we support in India, and we were just able to get her some more support, just sent her a note telling her that to meet her needs and her husband's. She's an American, married to an Indian, lived in the country now for 11 years, and she and her husband involved with orphanage, children's schools, and church planting and massive outreach. It's unbelievable what they're doing. But here's how she lives. She sent this note the other day, or posted it, working, trying to get everything ready for the new school year with a hot, fussy baby. It was 118 degrees today and no power from 2 to 6 p.m. We put the generator on, but it only lets us use the fan, which in this heat blows hot air. The baby was crying with sweat running down his face, my poor baby. But she's there joyfully serving. And they're making an amazing difference in high class, in the low class, making an amazing difference. And we've got one frontline worker after another. And as you share with us on this radio broadcast, we then help generate more funds to support our missionaries, our workers around the world. So our goal this month, very simple. I present it before you, see what the Lord lays in your heart. We're raising $50,000 for a radio outreach and to generate more funds for our workers around the world. Here's the number to call to stand with us, 1-800-278-9978. If you've never done it before, today's a great day. Today's a great day to become a torchbearer. And my thank you gift to every one of you for your gift, large or small, the 2-DVD set of The Debate with Rabbi Shmuley and Me, Who's the Real Kosher Jesus, moderated by Sid Roth. 1-800-278-9978. One more time, that's 1-800-278-9978. Hey, thanks for being part of something special. The Lord will bless you for it.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown.
your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You know, someone posted this on my Facebook page, obviously tongue-in-cheek, but making a point. They said, hey, what's the problem with people being obese? If they choose to be obese, then why have a state mandate to correct them? Some have a genetic disposition that fosters obesity. Imagine if they had a mandate to correct gays from their unhealthy lifestyle. Hey, I write about this and a queer thing happened to America, that some scientists say that there's such a thing as an obesity gene. Do we have fat pride parades? Do we celebrate obesity? Or if someone has a genetic inclination towards obesity, don't they work harder against it? Why don't they just say, hey, I was born this way and I'm going to celebrate this? Fair question. 866-34-TRUTH. Back to your calls about the mayor of New York City wanting to ban sugary drinks more than 16 ounces. Oh, you could get more, but you'd have to pay for another drink. They'd have to bring it out in two cups instead of one. And I'm sure that people that really are used to getting big drinks would stop because it would have to come in two cups versus one. Right. Little sarcasm there. Back to the phones. Gary in New York City, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi, Dr. Brown. It's a pleasure speaking to you. It's a pleasure listening to your program on WMCA 570.
Thank you, sir. My joy. Thank you.
And I just want to say that, you know, I want to say that it's very, the utter hypocrisy of the people who call themselves pro-choice. When they're not even pro-choice when it comes to abortion, but even less pro-choice when it comes to everything else.
Yep.
They want the government to be in, to be, have its tentacles in every area of our lives. You know, I'm pro-choice when it comes to drinking sugary drinks. And I choose not to drink sugary drinks. I try to lose weight right now. I try to use diet soda or orange juice, whatever, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm pro-choice. I'm pro-choice when it comes to that. I'm for people having a choice, not for the government to intrude on our right to choose whether to drink sugary drinks or not. And I'm pro-choice when it comes to practically everything else. I like to say I'm pro-choice when I go to Baskin-Robbins or another ice cream store and I have 31 flavors.
The government does not, according to Mayor Bloomberg and others, the government does not have a right to tell a woman what to do with her own body, even if it means killing a baby in the womb. The government does
right.
not have the right to tell a woman what to do with her own body. But
there's
the possibility of you gaining a few pounds by having a big sugary drink. The government has the right to get in the way of that.
It's so hypocritical. They say keep your laws off my ovaries. Well, I say keep your laws off my mouth and my stomach.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's the shock of it. And then from the other angle, for the mayor to boast about people in New York live 3 years longer than in other parts of America. Yeah, well, that, like I said, that's if they manage to get out of the womb, because over 40% get killed in the womb. Oh, and how about this? This is a report from Center of Disease Control, and it's about 1 year old. And it says this: over the past several years, increases in syphilis among men having sex with men have been reported in various cities and areas, including Chicago, Seattle, San Francisco, Southern California, Miami, and New York City. But hey, you can't speak about that or discourage that. But
right.
Of course, keep your hands off my ovaries, the ladies say, but by all means, put them on the Slurpees. Gary, your point is very taken.
I'm telling you, I never liked Mayor Bloomberg. I especially disliked when he tried to shut down crisis pregnancy centers by putting free speech restrictions on them. You know.
Yeah.
Stuff
got
like
it.
That.
The hypocrisy is glaring. Gary, got to run, but thank you for the call. You hit the nail on the head.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Hey, I just remembered, as this is Monday now, that it's coming up quickly this Sunday. God willing, I will be ministering in Suffolk County on Long Island. So all of our friends listening, especially on WLIX out there in eastern Long Island, if you're able to join me either 9 a.m. or 11 a.m. at the Holding Out Hope Church, Middle Island, so that's in Suffolk County. And then for pastors and leaders only, we have a Monday morning meeting. So Sunday I'll be preaching, then Monday meeting with pastors, leaders only, Monday 10 a.m. So if you want info on that, just go to my website, askdrbrown.org. Right at the bottom is the itinerary. If you're a pastor or leader and can join us Monday morning, contact the WLIX radio station, and they can give you more details. Hope to meet some of you folks. Also be doing a book signing there as well after the services. So as many as can come, that would be wonderful. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Back to the phones. Brenda in Frederick. All right, we lost Brenda. Let's go out to Patrick, Ronkonkoma. So you're out towards Middle Island on Long Island, in that direction. Good to hear from you, Patrick. What's your take on this?
Thanks very much for having me, Doctor. And I absolutely look forward to seeing you next Sunday when you come out.
Awesome.
My take on this, and I know you said early on, and I promise I won't, but you said early on, don't bring a lot of the other issues and dislikes and likes of Dr.
We're all right. We're towards the end of the subject now, so go for it. Just don't speak of the mayor harshly personally, but weigh in on any issue you want relating to this. We'll go for it now.
Okay. I just wanted to I don't think it's – first of all, I think it's unconstitutional what he wants to do. The Constitution has made it very clear that the government is to stay out of what we put into our bodies. You know, I mean, smoking, George Washington grew some great tobacco and so did a whole bunch of other guys, and that was part of the industry of the United States in the early days. They didn't know a lot about stuff, but you know what? We managed to still be here for over 200 years with all the stuff, the whiskey and the tobacco and everything that they, you know, propagated back in the day. The other thing is, so I think he's dead wrong doing what he's doing about the size. And the only other point I would really like to make, and this goes out to the rest of the country, your listeners around the country. I'm on Long Island. We're not subjugated to that fool's rules, but he is a very dangerous man. That is the Bloomberg, that is the Mike Bloomberg of the Bloomberg Report, the financial thing. I've always been in great favor of having a businessman run the country since the country is a business, but that's a very dangerous man, people. If he throws his hat into the ring to guide this nation, you better do your homework on him. He made it so he had a third term as mayor in New York, and then right away, as soon as he got in, made it absolutely impossible to have a third term ever again for anybody to run for mayor. So this is the kind of stuff. And if you look at the things that he's doing and go back into the 1930s in Europe, you're going to see a couple of characters over there that he bears a very, very similar picture.
All right. Yeah. Let me just jump in.
Sure.
And just to speak to this as a believer and as a leader and as a radio host,
right?
I have no problem giving a warning and saying that I believe someone in a specific position would be dangerous. I have no problem sounding an alarm about that or pointing out someone's policies. In keeping, though, with Titus, the third chapter, which urges us to speak in a certain way about others and to remember the mercy God had on us as believers, I would not refer to him as a fool. That to me would be something I wouldn't do, especially as a leader, nor do I think it helps our cause to do that. But to sound an alarm and to raise these points. Now, here's what's interesting, Patrick. Again, I don't live in New York City now, but I'm a New Yorker, born in Manhattan, lived on Long Island for the longest stretch of my life, lived on Long Island. That's where Nancy was born and raised as well, my wife. So I have a deep identification with New York and get into New York, the city, as often as I can. And I know other people of faith have had some real issues with the mayor in terms of what he's done, say, with the public schools and saying they can't opposing their usage for worship services, for churches, and then forbidding any expression of faith in 9-11, the 10th anniversary, when people were going to gather and speak. There could be no religious leader with any expression of faith or prayer offered or anything like that. Obviously, you have strong views about this, Patrick.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Do you and other people are posting on my Facebook page about, yeah, you know, this sounds just like Hitler and so on. Okay, so I'm going to play the devil's advocate here for a minute. I have some real issues with the mayor as well. But this idea that, you know, what he's doing here with the Slurpees and so on, that you can draw any parallel between that and a Hitler, or any parallel between that and someone who's dangerous to the American government, I'm playing the devil's advocate here, Patrick, but doesn't that just make you sound like some crazy extremist that's got his head in the, you know, in the clouds somewhere?
Yeah, sure. And I hope nobody takes this the wrong way, but you know, there were a bunch of great men who walked around. One in particular walked around with a camel hair sweater and ate bugs and berries and stuff, and he was an.
So you don't mind sounding like an extremist, right? But let's just do this one more minute then. Give your best case in a non-extremist, rational way why you have such concerns about the mayor and if he was to run as a national candidate. All right, tell you what. Why don't you give it some thought, okay?
Yeah.
Why don't you give it some thought, and then if you want to hand me a note on Sunday when you see
sure.
me. All right. God bless you, Patrick. Good talking
to you,
buddy.
God bless you too, Doc.
All right. Hey, you know what I appreciate there? You know what I appreciate? I know it's radio, and we had a couple of seconds of dead silence, which you're not supposed to have on radio. But you know what I appreciate? He stopped and thought. He stopped and gave it some thought and realized he had to think more to give an answer with more substance, with more information. I like that. Better to stop and think. Now, let's move on from this. I raise the issue because it's of interest and it's curious and it's different and it's worth talking about. But I raise it because of what I see as an amazing moral hypocrisy. And an amazing double standard. Like Gary said when he called earlier, you pro-choice. Yeah, go ahead and kill the baby in the womb. Go ahead and do whatever is necessary to protect, quote, a woman's choice. It's her body. She can do with it what she wants, even if it means killing the baby inside her womb. Her body, her choice. But not your choice if you want to drink a bigger sugary drink. Not your choice. Not your choice if you want to eat something with certain trans fat. Now, let me say again, I'm not downplaying the health crisis that we have in America because of obesity. And probably most of us need to be in better shape. And there's a larger culture of obesity, which is the other question. Maybe I'll talk about later today. Why is it as a society we are so obese? But when you have, when this legislation is being put forward, and at the same time, what is called Prenda, which is the bill that would prevent abortion based on gender discrimination. So it's the Prenatal Non-Discrimination Act. When the House shoots this down, overwhelming, and look, you know if you listen to this show, I do not blast the Democrats and praise the Republicans. I freely speak about issues with both parties. But let's just hear it. Democrats voted against the bill. 161-20. Republicans voted for it by 226-7, but it needed a larger majority to pass and then to get to the Senate after the House. 77% of Americans oppose sex selective abortion. And yet, yet people have the audacity to vote against this bill, which is really a war on women, because there'll be female abortions more than anything, because the cultures in particular that are going to have an abortion based on gender are primarily, if you're going to balance that over a period of time, primarily going to be aborting girls because they want a boy in the family. That's why in China now and in India, where these things are practiced, gender-selective abortion, and even in some cases infanticide, killing an unwanted baby after it's born, there is now a shortage of males, a shortage of men. Excuse me, a shortage of females, a shortage of women, because they're getting aborted. This is a war on women. And yet the National Organization of Women has the gall to put out a statement saying that, well, that they're appalled that lawmakers in the House would sponsor such a deceptive bill and yet another attempt to block women's access to necessary health care. While the bill purports to support gender equality and civil rights, Prenda does nothing to address sex discrimination and instead simply demonizes women seeking abortions. Amazing. That's what we are dealing with. Oh, a little more outrage when I come back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Nancy and I were talking about Prenda, about the Prenatal Non-Discrimination Act, talking about the outrage of, let's say, people say, all right, we need to pass this bill because it is wrong to kill a baby based on its gender or based on its race. But the hypocrisy that goes with that for people to say it's wrong to do that. However, it's right to kill the baby just because it's a baby that's not wanted. I mean, that is further hypocrisy. And it just shows the moral malaise that people are stuck in. Thankfully, polls indicate that Americans are more pro-life than ever since Roe v. Wade passed. And even among the younger generation, so radically pro-gay and other things like that, is becoming increasingly pro-life, which means give things time for truth and life to penetrate and for wrong ways to be exposed, and people will catch on by God's grace. And just as people had a wrong view on abortion some years ago and more changing, the same thing will happen with homosexuality. And people once again recognize the importance of male-female distinctions and of things as God ordained them. 866-34-TRUTH. But Nancy and I were talking about this, and she said, wasn't Hillary Clinton upset about policies in China a few years back that would be very similar to this? And yet our president, the administration, came out opposing Prenda, opposing the Prenatal Non-Discrimination Act. So I went online and checked and shot an email to Nancy with the link, said, you're right, hon. Listen to this. Hillary Clinton told the New York Times in 2009, in a special issue titled Saving the World's Women, that she's uncomfortable with the practice of female infanticide and abortion. Quote, obviously, there's work to be done in both India and China because the infanticide rate of girl babies is still overwhelmingly high. And unfortunately, with technology, parents are able to use sonograms to determine the sex of a baby and to abort girl children simply because they'd rather have a boy. Yeah, I agree with her that is inexcusable, reprehensible, and must stop. But please tell me why it's wrong to kill. Here. Let's make it just someone that's born. Wrong to kill this person because they're female. Wrong to kill this person because they're of another ethnicity. But okay to kill him for other reasons. No, murder's murder. Why is it a right to kill a baby in the womb if just because it's an unwanted pregnancy or unintended pregnancy, or we don't know that we could really afford to care for the baby, or just, hey, we don't want to have kids right now. That's okay. Indiscriminately kill whether it's male or female. But check first to find out if it's male or female, or if it's black or white or whatever, and then kill accordingly. That's wrong. What moral bankruptcy? And hypocrisy. God help us. God help awaken America to the cry of the unborn. And some of these other things taking place in New York City with policies or attempted policies to ban sugary drinks over 16 ounces at the same time that over 40% of babies born or conceived in New York are killed in the womb. My, oh my. May the Lord help us to see and understand. Hey, let me share some neat testimonies with you. Got this from one of our ministry school grads. She said she's part of a street group of street preachers in L.A. They do outreaches, and they share the good news of Jesus at gay pride events. They go in and seek to reach out. She's had opportunities on a couple of occasions to reach out to Melissa Etheridge. She said her girlfriend left her now and is trying to get $20,000 support a month. This is what the grad tells me. She said, please pray for us. I live in my car as a missionary here and will be there for a few weeks. I've been to 7 gay pride marches now and church has no idea what happens there. And she's out there saying, hey, I'm going for it, sharing the gospel, living in a car because I'm a missionary to certain inner cities and other places like that. Amazing. Saw this post from Gary on my Facebook page. I just finished Revolution, The Call of Holy War. I know it's not Dr. Brown's most recent book, but it contains the vision we all need for the church today. It's a last day's manifesto, the only real direction we can take in God's love. And then a post by Uchendu. By Our Hands Are Stained with Blood. My most translated book came out in 1992. Your heart will cry for mercy as the tears stream down your face. My hands were stained with blood, and I didn't even know it, but now my hands are liberated to be raised up in gratitude to my Father in intercession for his firstborn son. This is yet another person now who will have a broken heart to pray for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Now some good news from God's word. Friends, I'm encouraging you to stand with us as we seek to raise $50,000 for radio and to help our workers around the world who are preaching the gospel on their front lines, winning the lost, working with the poorest of the poor, the hurting, in dangerous places, some of them with their lives threatened, and can't even say more than that because it would say too much and put them in dangerous positions if I spoke more about where they are and what they're doing. But suffice it to say, it has been terribly costly for some of them. They're going for it. We're going for it together. My materials now, Jewish outreach materials online, have now been translated into Hebrew. They're now live in Hebrew in Israel with some major internet outreaches planned and some major material in writing about to be released in Israel. So a lot of neat things happening. I'm talking about in Hebrew for the Israelis, for the religious Jews there. And as you give and stand with us, you're part of this great harvest. You're part of it. And God's faithful. He's called us to do what we're doing. We joyfully pour our funds back into radio and back into world outreach and outreach to the Jewish people and to be a voice to awaken the Church of America and the nation. Here's some good news from 2 Corinthians. And I don't normally use the Amplified Bible, but someone quoted this verse from 2 Corinthians 9 in the Amplified the other night, and I want to share it with you. I'll give you the context. Remember this? He who sows sparingly and grudgingly will also reap sparingly and grudgingly, and he who sows generously, that blessings may come to someone, will also reap generously and with blessings. Let each one give as he has made up his own mind and purposed in his heart, not reluctantly or sorrowfully or under compulsion. For God loves, takes pleasure in prizes above other things, and is unwilling to abandon or to do without a cheerful, joyous, prompt to do it giver, whose heart is in his giving. It's just amplified. And here's the verse. Verse 8, and God is able to make all grace, every favor and earthly blessing come to you in abundance, so that you may always and under all circumstances and whatever the need, be self-sufficient, possessing enough to require no aid or support, and furnished in abundance for every good work and charitable donation. Praise God. So as you sow into God's work, God smiles on that, multiplies those funds to touch many lives, and in turn smiles on you. Would you stand with us? My thank you gift to everyone helping us. It's a $20 value. My debate with Rabbi Shmuley, moderated by Sid Roth, who is the real kosher Jesus, a 2-DVD set. Whatever gift you send in, large or small, it's my thank you to each of you. So join with us, whatever you can do. If everyone does what they can, we'll get way over our goal and have more for the work of the gospel. 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. As you make that call, as you write that check, remind yourself, God's with you. If you stand for him and do what's right. 1-800-278-9978. What an awesome day for our light to shine in the midst of darkness. Exalt Jesus, friends. From New York's war on Slurpees to gendercide in Congress and Green Lantern Goes Gay. We'll cover it all right here on The Line of Fire.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Hey, friends, it is a joy to be with you today on The Line of Fire. And I got to unburden myself. I got to confess this. I forgot when I just closed out the last hour, at the end of every hour, I do a bottom line. This is my second hour. I closed with an exhortation and a word of encouragement, but I forgot. I forgot to give a bottom line. I know some listeners like, he didn't give a bottom line. I'm not going to make it through the day. Well, praise the Lord. God is bigger than that. But I wanted to confess, get that out. And I'm looking, sitting here in my office, looking through the window that goes from my office to the next where folks help me during the radio show. And I see a beautiful smile. A beautiful, lovely smile from a lovely 11-year-old, and a moment before then from a little guy with freckles, 8 years old. The grandkids have come by, but they won't be on the air today. It's just me, Michael Brown. Thanks for joining us today on The Line of Fire. Man, I got a lot of stuff to talk with you about. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. First hour, we're on in New York City and other cities, so I was asking our New York friends for their take on Mayor Bloomberg wanting to ban all sugary drinks over 16 ounces. I mean, you could go into a pizzeria and get enough pizza to sink a ship. You could go into an ice cream place and get enough ice cream to flatten you for a week. Well, not flatten you, but floor you for a week. That's okay. But sugary drinks, no, not over 16 ounces. But, of course, you can just buy multiple ones. We talked about that, and we talked about at the same time in New York City. You've got an abortion rate of over 40%. That's okay. But watch out for those Slurpees. God help us. But there are a bunch of other things going on that I want to talk to you about in the comic books. Oh, yeah, gay activism in the comic books. I want to talk to you about that. And in case you didn't follow it last week, the House had an opportunity to vote to send PRENDA, the Prenatal Non-Discrimination Act, to the Senate so that there could be a ban on sex-selective abortions. That failed. The vote was a majority vote, and it was almost all Republicans voting for the ban and Democrats voting against it. The vote was majority, but didn't have the numbers needed. It had to be a certain supermajority to get through. That's another issue to discuss. But can I throw out a bigger question? Bigger, larger question. I want to get your take. 866-34-TRUTH. 866-348-7884. I've got a larger question for you, all right? And I want your opinion on this. As a society, obesity is a genuine issue. Oh, yes. No question. No question whatsoever that things are messed up with the mayor of New York saying he was going to ban 16-ounce, you know, bigger than 16-ounce sugary drinks and so on. That's crazy. And some of the other things that have been done, you can't have this, can't have this, can't have that. That's crazy. And I understand that if you got, say, a burger at a fast food place 30 years ago, or a burger joint 30 years ago, it's a whole lot smaller than a burger you get today. But I've just got a larger question for you. And I'm not throwing stones because even though I work out in pretty good shape, I'm overweight. I got to lose some weight too. Why are we so fat as a culture? Why are we so obese? Why are we obese in epidemic proportions in America and in the church too? What do you think? What are the causes behind it? 866-34-TRUTH.
God of light, hear our cry, send the fire. It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us today on The Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Online, weigh in on Facebook. We got a great conversation going there on Facebook. Ask Dr. Brown, A-S-K-D-R Brown. It's all one word on our Facebook page. I've also got some neat testimonies to share with you and some opportunities to present to you and some ways that we want to bless you as well. We'll do that as the show goes forward. As I was looking at comments on my private Facebook page and then our ministry Facebook page is the one we invite everyone to join on and where we're active on a daily basis, I asked the question, how do you feel about Mayor Bloomberg's proposal to ban the sale of sugary drinks of more than 16 ounces in New York City to help fight obesity? And some of the comments that came in addressed that issue specifically, but then some addressed the larger issue of obesity. Now, again, when I take issue with Mayor Bloomberg in New York City and the proposed ban, I don't take issue with the larger question of the problem of obesity that many struggle with, all right? The question is, why have we become so obese in America? I mean, look, we've got no shortage of diet books. We've got no shortage of gyms. We've got no shortage of exercise equipment. We've got no shortage of infomercials telling us how to get thin and trim. We've got no shortage of diet pills and the like. We've got no shortage of perfect body emphasis. You know, you can't escape the magazine cover. You just go to a grocery store. You got to guard your eyes because everything is this perfect body here, there, and look like this. And yet the more we have of this, the fatter we're getting, which poses many health risks and then just larger questions of discipline in our own lives. Why is that? So some folks just weighed in on the specific question I raised. Jeff, I feel like I already have a mother. I don't need a new one. Christy, that is scary because what will they ban next? Bill, yet I'm sure Starbucks will continue to sell 500-calorie, 16-ounce coffees. Sean, this will be one of the easiest laws to work around. The only thing it will accomplish is reinforcing that government knows what's best and people don't need to think for themselves. They continue to pry personal responsibility out of the grip of their constituents. Isaac, well, it's sick to say the least, but I guess this just brings us one step closer to the return of Jesus. Vincent, it brings us closer to the return of Jesus. So that's that. The Joshua weighs in. The timing of the second coming is directly tied to the sale of the 64-ounce Big Gulp. It's one of the scratch-off awards at 7-Eleven this month. So that stirred some sarcastic responses there. But then Isaac weighs in talking about one world government, so one little step at a time in that direction. And he says, hey, Hitler didn't take over Germany in one day, took time to brainwash the people, back and forth, back and forth. And then someone else weighed in, a Jewish-believing colleague, weighed in with a larger point about obesity in general. And I'm wondering, what do you think? Many of you who are older, you've grown up and watched American culture change. Is it that we have become couch potatoes? Is it that we are simply not disciplined, hardworking? Is it that TV is constantly advertising food and eat this and eat that? Is it that the portions have gotten bigger and bigger and unhealthier in the restaurants? Is it that more and more people are eating out and less are taking time to eat healthily at home? Why are we so obese? And there are other countries. I think Australia, if I'm correct, per person is maybe the most obese country in the world. But you think, Australia, come on, the outback and the Aussie way of life. And is this everybody's some, you know, was it, who was the guy, Crocodile Dundee or something like that? Everybody's an outdoors person there in Australia. Is that it? But then why are they so obese? What do you think? 866-34-TRUTH. So Stuart weighed in and said this. When I was a child in New York City, when one came home from school, one threw one's books somewhere in the house and ran downstairs to play in the streets until it was too dark to see one's hand every day. Now kids come home and more often than not glue themselves to a screen. This plus the marketing of addicting junk food accounts for the rampant obesity epidemic. What do you think? Do you agree with that comment? Brenda added in, yes, Stuart, I agree. Obesity is a complex issue that needs a multifaceted approach. I'm considered obese. Studies indicate that there are chemical releases from plastic water bottles that produce excess estrogen in our bodies. Haven't heard that. That's interesting. Almost every form of meat we eat had growth hormones in it. These growth hormones are for mammal growth. That's humans, too. Add to the growth hormones, sugary foods and drinks, very sedentary lifestyle, and for me at least, thyroid problems, which is made worse by lack of iodine, which folks used to get in their table salt until they were scared out of using salt. And you can begin to see the complexity of the issue. And others say, yeah, it's complex, but the government needs to stay out of it. What do you think? 866-34-TRUTH. Why are we so obese? Now, look, you may yourself be 50 pounds overweight. You can call. You don't have to call if you are like a modern-day Jack LaLanne. You don't only have to call if you have now mastered every one of your life goals in terms of weight. But here's news from FoxNews.com that was posted on my Facebook page. I'm just looking at it now. The obesity epidemic in America's churches. Good morning. I'm Pastor Doug, and I am obese. Pastor Doug Anderson shocked his Sunday morning congregation at Rose High's church with these uncommon and uncomfortable opening remarks just prior to the sermon. Pastor Doug Anderson of Tyler, Texas, had a personal wake-up call during his annual visit to his primary care physician. He learned that his body mass index had effortlessly slipped into the obese range, and he was no longer just an overweight pastor. Stunned by the word obese now attached to his name, he realized that it was the time for a personal lifestyle makeover. Today in America, Pastor Doug is not alone. Nearly one half of the American population will be obese by 2030. According to a 2012 study published in the American Journal of Preventive Medicine, the researchers estimate that this will result in an additional $66 billion in healthcare expenditures, 7.8 million new cases of diabetes, and it goes on and on. The epidemic of obesity and commonly associated diseases creates a gash in the fabric of our country that threatens the future of individuals, families, and our nation. By the way, it's fine to talk about these issues. But you cannot talk about issues of sexually transmitted diseases and health costs and related things like that when it pertains to homosexual things. No, that's being homophobic. That's being hateful. But this is not, what's the word? Fatophobic? Obesophobic? Maybe we should start. All right, what's the right word to use? Let's coin it. Maybe someone else has done that already. Phobia of fat people. Or being fat. And please, let me say this again. Some of you are struggling terribly with your weight. And it seems like a massive way back. You see no way you can ever regain your health. And you've struggled for years. You've had bad eating habits, whatever. I in no way want to minimize this. I in no way want to mock your situation or make you feel any worse than you do. Let's concentrate first on the fact that we're children of God, which is a spiritual relationship. And then being accepted in him and loved by him, we can hopefully get discipline and help and healing in every area of our lives so that we can be fit and strong to run our race for the Lord and to be good witnesses. But it's striking, of course, that you can't talk about certain issues. If you do, you're homophobic. If you do, you are full of hatred. If you do, you're intolerant. But we can talk about these issues. I read a report briefly from England that has told healthcare workers don't use the word obese. It's because it's offensive. Talk instead about healthier weight goals or healthier living or something like that. So what's the term? Fatophobia? Obesophobia doesn't work. I don't know. We'll come up with the right term to use. I mean, that's what we should accuse all these people of having, that they just have a phobia towards obesity. No, they're concerned about health. The article I was reading from continues, but a potentially larger crisis is looming in the pews of churches across America. In fact, statistics suggest that the church today may indeed be in worse condition than the general population. Let's see. A 2006 Purdue study found that the fundamental Christians are by far the heaviest of all religious groups, led by the Baptists with a 30% obesity rate compared with Jews at 1% and Buddhists and Hindus at 7%. The study prompted the lead researcher, Ken Ferrara, to say America is becoming a nation of gluttony and obesity. Churches are feeding ground for this problem. If true, why would that be? Back with your calls and comments. Stay with us.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You know, this might work. This might work. We have to come at it from a different angle. Randy just sent me this note. It's cacomorphobia. Cacomorphobia. Urban Dictionary says it's completely rational fear of overweight, disgusting fat people that should stop chowing down on that mayonnaise sandwich. Urban Dictionary having fun there. Cacomorphobia. Definition says a fear of fat or obese people, not a hatred or dislike. Literally terrified of being around a fat person without a rational reason. I wonder if I should write an article and ask, is Mayor Bloomberg cacomorphobic, or are you suffering from cacomorphobia? Again, I am not making light of the very real issue of obesity that many Americans struggle with, and I've said for years that as a big guy, 20 or 30 pounds may not be as much to me as someone else, but it's still extra weight I carry that I shouldn't carry. I'm not making light of this at all, but for people to get all worked up over this and to allow other health-related issues to thrive or to justify things. You can't speak against other health-related issues. Or as one of my callers said in the first hour, pro-choice women say, keep your hands off my ovaries. Oh, yeah, but it's fine for the mayor to say, you know, he's going to put his hands on your stomach and say what you can and can't eat. Anyway, bigger question, why are we so obese as a nation? What are the contributing factors? Nancy and I talked about this and have some ideas I'll share with you, and I've suggested a few already. I'll give you my larger picture in a moment. 866-34-TRUTH. Maurice in Stone Mountain, Georgia, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hey, how are you, Dr. Brown?
I'm blessed, sir. How about you?
I am blessed, too. Thank you so much. Well, I was thinking as your show is going on, and I have for a while, the breakdown of the family where you learn your significance and your discipline and strength has been on such an attack. And for the Jewish community in America, that's a culture within a culture. If the family's strong, it seems as though people are better able to deal with things and they don't need a quick fix. And I think the refrigerator's a quick fix.
So you're just saying that in general, we eat because of other issues.
And I believe that must be the root. I do believe that.
All right, so there's no question that if we look at our eating patterns, our unhealthy eating patterns, some people will eat because they're depressed. Some people will eat as a reward. Some people will eat for different reasons. But hasn't that always been part of human nature, part of our culture? Why would it be that we're so much more obese now than we were a generation ago?
Well, I think maybe the bottom line is just to feel good. And we used to get that from being with family and having activities that are relationship-oriented instead of being alone. Many people have trouble communicating, and so when you're alone a lot, I believe the breakdown of our situation in our culture is manifesting in these last days as maybe this is just as many other things, as you know, sexual confusion, et cetera, et cetera.
All right, so this is another symptom, right, of larger family breakdown and the effect it has on individuals. These are complex things, Maurice, but certainly what you say is, forgive the idiom, food for thought, for sure. and without question points to the larger issues of when family breaks down and other things happen with independence and being separated and then the lifestyles we live and you know, just the virtual reality world people can live in and on and on and on. There are other implications. Hey, thank you for the call, Maurice. I appreciate it. 866-34-TRUTH. Let me give you an overall thought on that. And I want to move on to another subject as well shortly. But in general, we are a tremendously narcissistic society. We have so much. I know some of you are struggling just to make ends meet, but largely speaking, you travel around the world and you see how others live. Not to lay a guilt trip on us, but we are tremendously narcissistic, materialistic. While much of the world is struggling to make it from day to day, our concern is, do I upgrade to the newest iPad or whatever? Now, again, I'm saying that in exaggerated terms. But to me, our obesity is just another symptom of us being a narcissistic, materialistic culture. So from the constant ads on TV, you have to have this latest vehicle, you have to have this latest gadget, and then all the food with this and that, that it's just creating desire for things for the most part that we don't need. And then when that works its way out physically, it leads to obesity, does it not? And for those who are struggling, again, let's stand together and see grace come so that we can be examples in every area of our lives and that, hey, we can be healthy and not be a drain, but serve others. And those who are struggling with health issues and you take good care of yourself, may the Lord's mercy and strength be yours as well. Hey, friends, here is some good news from the Word of God. Can I share this with you? 2 Corinthians 9, New Living Translation. Remember this, a farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop, but the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. You must each decide in your heart how much to give, and don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure, for God loves a person who gives cheerfully, and God will generously provide all you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others, as the scriptures say. They share freely and give generously to the poor. Their good deeds will be remembered forever. Friends, we are standing with our workers, grads on the front lines, working with hurting, needy people and making a difference, bringing the gospel to them, bringing life, bringing hope, bringing transformation. And the first fruits of all the money that is sent to our ministry, we pour right back into our workers around the world, and then we pour money right into our radio ministry and the work of reaching the lost sheep of the house of Israel, equipping believers here in America, and making a difference in moral cultural revolution and around the world as well. We are raising, by God's grace, at least $50,000 this month to help with these immediate needs. And every one of you has an opportunity to be part of that. No pressure, but I want to encourage all of you listening, do what you can. And here's my way of thanking you. We have a $20 resource. It's a 2-DVD set, high-quality recording, Sid Roth moderating a debate between Rabbi Shmuley and me on who is the real kosher Jesus. Just record it and now available for the first time through our ministry. It's a $20 resource, but it's yours for your gift of any size. So whatever you can send in, some have very little. Send what you can. Some have a lot. It'll balance out. And then we'll take all these funds and pour them into our workers around the world and pour them into this radio outreach. And you get the joy of sharing in the reward. Plus, God will bless you to bless others as well. Here's the number to call, 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. It's also a great time to become a monthly torchbearer. So thank you in advance for the difference that you'll make. 1-800-278-9978. And let us send you as our gift the 2-DVD set of the debate, Who is the Real Kosher Jesus? Back with much more.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown.
your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I've got a question for you. Are you suffering from cacomorphobia? Are you yourself cacomorphobic? All right, I didn't know what the word meant until a few minutes ago either. Michael Brown, welcome to the line of fire. It is the fear of obesity or the fear of being around obese people, cacomorphobia. What got us on that topic was Mayor Bloomberg in New York City wanting to pass a ban on sugary drinks over 16 ounces. I pointed out, aside from the question of government intrusion, although the issue of obesity is a real issue, pointed out the hypocrisy of the mayor doing that, boasting about the fact that in New York City, people live 3 years longer than in other parts of the country on average. That's if you manage to live, because 41% of all babies conceived in New York are killed in the womb. Ah, just a triviality. Can't worry about that. Got to deal with those Slurpees and those big gulps. Also talked about another very serious issue, which is the House failing to pass on to the Senate the Prenatal Non-Discrimination Act called PRENDA, which would ban sex-selective abortions. So you cannot abort a baby because it's a girl, say, or you cannot abort the baby because it's a black baby. No, this did not get through the House, sadly. And the president said he opposed it as well, although in concept he opposed the idea of sex-selective abortion. Hey, you got to give a woman a right to choose. Shocking, huh? Isn't it? And it was Hillary Clinton, as my wife Nancy pointed out to me over the weekend, who opposed this taking place in China and India. She said, unfortunately, with technology, parents are able to use sonograms to determine the sex of a baby and to abort girl children simply because they'd rather have a boy. That was 2009. Where are these voices speaking out against PRENDA today? But I want to change topics. I want to talk about something else, and I want to get your feedback. Are you ready? Are your fingers poised to dial? Or maybe you have us down to speed dial to get on the air. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-384-8788-4. Aren't you glad we don't have rotary phones anymore? You ever see an old movie and they got the rotary phones? You tell your kids about it today, or your grandkids. Yeah, they had these phones, rotary phones. Not anymore. Although I used to remember a lot more phone numbers back then than before. You just had a name, you just plug in the name and dial it. But here's my question for you. June, Gay Pride Month, for years our president has celebrated, made a decree celebrating it every June now that he's been in office. Here's my question for you. The comic books now are racing to take the lead in gay activism. I actually confuse this as all being Marvel comics, but it's actually two different major comic book series, one DC Comics and the other Marvel. And this is their big coming out month. First, let me tell you the situation, then ask you a question. So, as of today, Green Lantern, who apparently has been a mainstay of DC Comics for, 70 years? And his non-superhero alter ego, who Green Lantern really is, has been a married man with two kids. No, he is now going to come out as gay. The Green Lantern goes pink this week. And Marvel Comics says that one of their superheroes is going to get married this month. North Star, is that who it is? So they will have their first same-sex superhero marriage. Does this matter? Should we care? Should we even think about this? Should we care? Kids are going to be reading this. Children are going to be reading the comics. And then who knows from where it goes after that, where the comic books kind of lead the way before movies and TVs, cartoons and things like that. Should we care? Is this another? Come on, Mike Brown. Why do you even bring this up? How stupid. Or is this proof that you better believe we should care? What do you think? 866-34-TRUTH. Change the world. It's fire we want, for fire we please. And the fire.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on the Line of Fire. Okay, you know what they say about taxes? You pay me now or pay me later. That's how I feel about a number of issues where I've sounded the alarm for years, where I've raised concern for years, where I've told folks, hey, this is coming our way, and it's going to impact our kids and our grandkids, and we need to stand up and do what's right in love and compassion. We need to stand up and do what's right. I feel the same way as people say about taxes, you can pay me now or pay me later, meaning if you don't believe me today, you're going to believe me tomorrow. You think I'm crazy today, you'll recognize I'm not crazy tomorrow. If you say, why are you wasting your time on this? There are a million other things to deal with. Well, hey, we deal with lots of other things. Boy, I'm involved in Jewish ministry all the time. In fact, a neat report I'll share with you in a little while. I'm involved in seeking to call people to a deeper devotion to Jesus all the time. I mean, we're involved in all kinds of frontline ministry all the time and supporting our grads working around the world who are ministering effectively in some of the most difficult places in the world. In fact, I can't tell you some of the countries where they are because it would expose them to potential danger. Even, well, can't say more. I'm tempted to say more, but I won't. However, the issue of the transformation of our culture so that gender, there's an absolute war on gender, that male-female distinctives just don't matter anymore. And if you dare differ with it, there's something wrong with you. We cannot ignore this, in my opinion. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. So my question to you, my dear listeners, for whom this show, The Line of Fire, exists, and for whom I serve as a voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution, when you hear the news that the comic books now are coming out in a more aggressive, pro-gay fashion, and bashing those with who differ. Hey, come on, we're just diversifying. They've already had gay characters, from what I understand, what I've read recently. But now the Green Lantern. Some of you, I'm 57. I was not a big comic book reader as a kid. But if I had been, I understand I would have been reading about Green Lantern 57 years ago or 55 years ago or whatever. Because he's been a mainstay of DC Comics. Married with two kids in terms of the guy behind the superhero in the comics. He's not going to come out as gay. I mean, does that mean the pictures that we're seeing, are these just artist creation? Are these actual pictures where you're going to have, you flip the comic book and there are two men making out, and there's your six-year-old flipping through the pages. And then Marvel Comics is going to have one of their superheroes get married to another male. Yeah. Same-sex, quote, marriage in Marvel Comics. That's why the headline saying is Superman gay and questions like that. It's going to be, is North Star, is that the name? I believe so. Yeah, North Star. Again, I'm not a comic book aficionado or a superhero aficionado. I watched Superman as a kid, you know, the TV show that we used to have then. I maybe read some of the comics, but hardly remember them. Don't remember some of these other names, but sure, Green Lantern, everybody's heard of, right? Does that matter? It's like, come on, Mike, it's a comic book. What are you getting worked up about? Come on, it's just so homophobic. You're probably a suppressed homosexual yourself. That's why you're getting worked up about this stuff and getting so upset. Or could it be, friends? Forgive the sarcasm in my last reply, but I always hear that stupid stuff. Could it be that people write and say, so you're just denying the obvious? God help them. Or could it be that we should care that when it goes this far, And now it's not just a matter of you have to believe me that certain things are taught in schools and certain things are heard in schools. You don't just have to hear about that anymore, because now this is the reality that's out there in the comic books. Is this further evidence? I wrote an article on mutant as a code word for gay in the X-Men movies. I had seen part of one of the movies while flying to Hawaii to minister there last year. And I thought, could you be any more overt in making it clear that this is a code word for gay? Mutant is a code word for gay. Could it be any more clear? So then I did some research and found out that these things were widely known, and I wrote an article about it that got a good amount of attention. And I spotted some gay column somewhere where the guy's ridiculing me. Oh, you're just finding this out now? We all knew that. It's in the movies, but now even more overtly in the comic books. Kids looking at these things. It's perfectly normal. I'm going to go to the phones in a moment, 866-34-TRUTH. I was speaking with a young man at our church service at Fire yesterday morning. He's getting ready for college. He is an intelligent young man. He loves apologetics and debating. His whole family is very committed to the things of the Lord and to a solid biblical, spiritual, and intellectual approach to the gospel. He was telling me about an online course he was taking in preparation for college, and it was a class in genetics. He's going to give me more details in terms of it, in terms of the pro-gay curriculum that was in it and the pressure that was on him to write a biased paper in a certain direction. I asked him to detail that. As soon as he does, I'll share more. But he said that, I don't know if I have this right, several dozen friends of his, I think he said several dozen, that are conservative Christians, pure teens, committed to the Lord, strongly pro-life, but every one of them except for him, every one of them except for him, supported gay marriage, redefinition of marriage. Every one of them thought it was okay, even though he said they're committed Christians and they're strongly pro-life. Is there a connection between these subjects we're talking about? 866-34-TRUTH. What do you think? I'm asking you honestly for your feedback. We will start with Chad and Charlotte. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Yes, Dr. Brown?
Yes, sir.
I just wanted to comment on the Green Lantern. This is the original Green Lantern. There's been several different Green Lanterns throughout the year, but Green Lantern's son was Obsidian. He was the one that they made gay, and they actually had gay references to Green
Lantern's
son. Right,
right. And I only discovered this just this past, the weekend researching this, that they had the son come out as gay. So that's why it's mentioned there's some gay characters already in their literature.
But, I mean, if we don't take a stand now, we can't take a stand for our children now. I've got four children myself. I'm a 10 Fire Church with you, and I've got four children myself. And if we don't take a stand now, how much further will it go with our children, We've got to take a stand now, and we've got to impart into them the truth that we have so that they can go further. If we don't take a stand now, who's going to?
All right, so Chad, what I'm going to ask is for you and me a very obvious question, but I'm going to play the devil's advocate. Well, what's the problem? What's wrong with it? So the Green Lantern comes out as gay, so your kid understands that some people are gay and some aren't. What's the big deal?
The big deal is the morality issue. The God created us in his image. He created us to be male and female. He created us to be in a union, one man and one woman. And if we don't stand up now, then it'll creep into our children.
Nancy and I were talking about this over the weekend. The idea now that it's just the same, two men, two women, same as a man and woman, that there's no gender distinction or differences between the genders. I mean, who would have imagined something that fundamental would be challenged or questioned to the point now if you differ with it, there's something allegedly wrong with you. All right, Chad, hey, glad that you're with us at Fire and listening and agreeing, and blessings on your family and your kids. Thank you for weighing in, sir. I appreciate it. 866-34-TRUTH. Larry in Camden, New Jersey, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi, how's it going?
It's going great. Thank you.
I'm also calling on the gays and the comics.
Yes,
I don't
sir.
Want to sound like, I'm coming off as a person for disliking them, because they are who they are. God gave us free will. That was first and foremost. But I feel as though they're pushing this on our children.
Yeah.
And they're not having the opportunity to know right from wrong, because, like, for me, growing up, my grandmom was there, my mom was there, my dad was there. And our family values of having all parents on deck to raise a child properly in this day and age is gone. We are going to end up in the long run losing our children's souls. And we're here to save them. We're here to guide them. And I personally play a video game online. Sony has it. It's a DC Universe Online. It's free, download everything. But I boycott the game because of their choices that they made. I have a lot of homosexual friends that play the game. I have nothing against them because, like I said, it's their choice. But they were at least old enough to be allowed to make the choice.
Right. So, so the issue again, Larry, is not do we love everyone? Do we treat everyone with respect? If somebody was picking on a neighbor of mine that was gay, I'd be the first person to be talking to the ones picking on them. I'd be the first person to reach out and say, hey. And in fact, let me just say this. If I had straight neighbors as I do now, I'd be far less inclined to reach out and say, hey, come on over to the house, have a meal, than if I had gay neighbors, because I'd go out of my way to reach out and show the love of God. At the same time, the idea that this is going to be put into our kids' hearts and minds is normal, and you don't think this is an issue? I know most of you do, but some don't. Come on, friends. More calls, we come back.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us today on the Line of Fire. Hey, programming announcement. Tomorrow, Tuesday, we're doing an extra, so this is not going to take the place of Friday, but an extra program. You've got questions, we've got answers. However, I'm also going to leave the phone lines open for comments about the comic book issue. The phone lines are jammed and we're short on time. So I'm going to get to whoever I can today. If some of you want to weigh in tomorrow and continue to discuss this tomorrow, I'll do my best to carve some time out of the broadcast tomorrow as well. Matt in Raleigh, North Carolina, what's your take on this?
Hey, Dr. Michael. First of all, I just want to say God bless your ministry and what you're doing, sharing the truth, and may the Lord just continue to bless what you're doing in His name.
Thank you.
Growing up a comic book fan, I'm 37 years old. I've got two kids. It just kind of blows me away how more and more and more this alternative lifestyle is creeping into our nation's every aspect.
I mean, it's as pervasive as you could imagine.
Going in the fourth grade next year. We're taking him out of public school and sending him to a Christian school, and my daughter will be starting kindergarten in a Christian school this coming school year because it's just so rampant right now. I can't even understand being a third grader or a kindergartner with all this information that is going into our children's heads these days in public school.
Yeah, Matt, are you aware of anything that actually happened with your kids in school or stuff in the school in general you've heard about, or is it just you're being precautionary?
Well, I know that they are having clubs, gay pride clubs. They're having, you can't say anything against them, but they can be who they are. You can't go into school as a third grader and say, well, I'm taught in church that marriage is a man and a woman, and that's what God says, yet you can have children who, at 9, 10, 11 years old, claim to be homosexual, come in and say, this is who I am. You have to accept me for this.
Yeah, friends that are listening, you're hearing from a 37-year-old father talking about issues with third graders in school. And look, I documented this at length in A Queer Thing Happened to America. This is not a battle I was looking for. This is something the Lord's called me to sound an alarm. And the word I received years back, reach out and resist. Reach out to the people with compassion. Resist the agenda with courage. Matt, thank you for taking a stand there. Look, not everyone's able to send their kids to Christian school. Not everyone's able to homeschool. Not everyone feels called to do either of those. We must, though, get involved. We must get involved. John in Cleveland, Ohio, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hello, Dr. Brown. I believe that this whole sodomite agenda is nothing more than desecrating the temple. It's an assault on the First Amendment. Their finger trying to point in God's eye.
So it's pretty blatant to you that the comic book transformation is part of a larger,
absolutely,
aggressive agenda.
Part of the whole agenda.
Now, do you see this as part of just a general anti-God agenda? Sexual immorality in general, atheism, other things like that, or is it specifically a homosexual thing?
No, they're all rolled into one.
Got it. All right. Hey, John, I'm scheduled to be in Cleveland next week, John, to speak at a pastor's meeting for our radio station in Cleveland. So hopefully, pastor's leaders, you'll be able to be there and join me. Greg in Clearwater, Florida. All right, we lost Greg. Let's go to Brandon in Lexington, North. We lost Brandon. All right. Maybe we're going to get to the callers because they're not there. Bryden in Bradenton, Florida. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hello. Hello. Am I on?
Yes, you're on, sir.
Yeah, I'd like to say a couple of points. One is the human genome has been mapped, and there's no gay gene.
Mm-hmm.
When you say all these gay rights stuff that they're cramming onto our schools, they're not a race. And it's not a religion. It's just a voluntary thing. You can say one day you're gay, and the next day you're not. And many people have walked away from the gay lifestyle. I'd also like to say that Masters and Johnson had the big survey back in the 50s, and they got 1.5-2% people to say that they really were gay and private surveys.
Yeah,
and they
redid
that again in the 90s, and they got the exact same thing again.
Yeah, in fact, there was the most recent survey still put things at 3%
exactly.
or less. And I understand that even if someone, there's no such thing as the gay gene, many people from their earliest childhood development, for whatever reasons, develop differently, and now they look back as if they were born that way, and it can be very difficult to change. But the fact is, there's no such thing as a gay gene.
Correct,
and
that's what a lot of people believe, that they're born that way, and it's really not.
Right. They're born that way, and change is impossible. And even so, Brian, and I've got to jump in just because of time here, sir, even if someone was born a certain way, right, that does not justify behavior. In other words, behavior is always something that every one of us can modify. So we talked in the first hour about obesity issues and Mayor Bloomberg wanting to ban certain sugary drinks over 16 ounces in New York City. And some people claim there's an obesity gene. Well, if so, then you work harder against obesity if you had, quote, an obesity gene. But, Brian, thanks for calling. And again, to equate what's happening in the homosexual community with civil rights, African-American civil rights, is a travesty, as we have shared many times on the air. But thank you for the call. Sorry I had to jump in there, but time is short. Friends, good news. We are in the midst of some exciting outreach plans, Internet in Israel. One of my key books, after years of translation work and back and forth, is about to come out in Hebrew for distribution among the Jewish people, especially the religious Jews. Recently, all of my Jewish outreach material online has been translated into Hebrew and is now live on Internet in Israel. And there are some planned strategies with a key Israeli believer that we're working with to do some major blasts to get our message out via Internet in Israel. Some amazing things happening. And every day our grads bearing much fruit around the world. And through this radio broadcast, boy, I can't tell you how gratified we are as I travel out to meet people who say they listen every day and their lives are being changed. So I want to invite you to be part of this work. We are seeking to raise $50,000 this month. If more comes in, that's wonderful. With all of our listeners, it's really not a lot of money. With the billions of dollars spent on advertising for political campaigns, it's not a lot. But we're asking you to stand with us. Do whatever you can, all right? Whatever God puts in your heart, just do joyfully and share in the joy that we have. And my thank you to you, it's a $20 resource. It is the debate, two DVDs, Who is the Real Kosher Jesus? Sid Roth moderating a debate with Rabbi Shmuley Boteach and me. It's a $20 resource, but it's my thank you gift for your gift of any size or for becoming a monthly torchbearer and standing with us. So join with us today. Would you do that and be part of a great month of June of support for here and for the nations? 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978. One more time, 1-800-278-9978. Your gift of any size, my thank you, will be the two DVD set, The Debate, Who is the Real Kosher Jesus, moderated by Sid Roth. My bottom line today, let's remember that all those outside of the Lord are under the control, one way or another, of the evil one, which means the world is going to do worldly things and sinners are going to sin. We are the ones called to shine and bring the answer to them.